We started about something in the Tila and so on. If you remember, I spoke about. Now we'll go here. I will read the Sa'if and I'll explain it. Im en mayim mitzuyin lefanav berechuk yoter me'arba'a milim. A person wants to eat. Does have water around. We said he must make the Tila. He has no water. But he knows that if you go ahead, you will find water. How far ahead? If it is close to him, he should not eat it, he will reach that place. But if it is already far away, more than 4 miles, we don't force him to go. How about going back? If going back within 1 mile, he has to go back and make the Tila over there and leave. But if it doesn't have, if it is more than 4 miles ahead and 1 mile back, more than 1 mile, he doesn't. He can eat, but he should cover his hand with a piece of cloth or something. That means, but we don't tell him to do that unless there is a possibility that they will have water within 4 miles ahead and 1 mile back.
That's a person who's walking. What about a person who's in a boat or a person who's in a car driving? Mm-hmm. Can you say the same thing applies?
Well, we're talking here, a person has his own journey. Going even not on a boat. He's going. You're a boat, Baruch Hashem, today always there is water.
Person's in a car, no doesn't problem. Have water. Really? He's on the road.
Huh?
Yeah. Person's in a car on the road.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have water. So do we also say it's 4 miles, or 4 miles is nothing? It's 2 minutes by car.
Distance of 4 miles by car.
Yeah, so it takes a half a minute to go 4 miles by car.
Distance of 4 miles walking by car.
So anyway, this is 4 miles.
It's not going to be 18 minutes. It's not going to be 18 minutes regardless.
Each mile is 18 minutes.
Right, and walk. Since we say 72 minutes
that's
for
an
person
hour
walking.
And 12 minutes. He will drive an hour and 12 minutes. He will have water. He should want to drive it. Within that.
Within an hour and 12 minutes, he can drive that distance.
That's right.
The 4 miles doesn't apply if he's in the car.
Huh?
The 4 miles only applies if he's walking, if he's in the car.
That's right.
It's an hour and 12 minutes.
The amount of time of the 4 miles.
And if you drive backwards 18 minutes.
12 miles, 18 minutes.
This is my belief. The rabbi don't agree with me. He said, even in a car, within 4 miles, of time, but this is not to my understanding.
What's the rabbi say about that?
Because he said, it's certain 4 miles. I don't know if in his
Abu
comment, Lai. Maybe he said only. ונחלק הוא הפוסק אם הכוונה לארבעה מיל בהליכה ברגל שזהו שיעור שעה בחומש או שיעור נסיעה של ארבעה מיל תעיין שאלות ותשובות יביא עומר הגמרא ויש אומרים לכיוון שנטילת ידם מדרבנן ספק נטילת אדם לכולם אמנם בביאור הלכה פסק כשהוא נוסע מנתיבות הברזל אין חשבים לפי אורך הדרך לפי חשבון הזמן של הילוך 4 מילים לאדם בינוני. כן, הנה משנה ברורה, כמו שאני אמרתי.
אז הוא מביא שתי השיטות, אבל פוסק ההלכה למעלה ש...
כך דעתו, נספק לרבנן כולם. אבל הסברה אומרת, צריך בוודאי זמן של שעה וחמש.
זה מחלוקת הפוסקים, ודאי יש להם
שערות. אני דעתי, כמו אותם שאומרים כך. אלא לפי חשבון הזמן של האדם בינוני שהוא שיעור עב מניתים מנותים. לא רק כשהוא רעב הרבה, ועין עוד שאול ומשיב, על כל פנים אין לו אפשרות לטול ידו במים גם ברחוק 4 מילים, ילוט ידיו במפה ובנייה שיהיה כרוך היטב על ידיו, או שילבש כפפות ויאכל דפת.
If it's Zeman, all right. Why say 4 miles or 1 mile? Just say 72 minutes. Why say 2 hours?
No, because at that time you used to measure, they didn't know the minutes today, or custom watch, that. Those days they knew more walking by, so much was easier for them to know. That's a very simple one. You can imagine, today you are already accustomed to know what is watch.
Oh, they didn't watch
what time?
You don't know time from the sun, from that. Very simple. You believe that they had those days?
They had a sundial in their pocket, but they took it out. Oh, I know what time this
is. He's only about maybe 2,000 years ago.
Sundial.
Huh?
Sundial.
Yeah, a small sundial, right?
Maybe it's father.
They didn't have who had them. If a person, he doesn't eat himself, but somebody else is feeding him, who makes the nitira? The one that's feeding or the one who is eating?
The one that's feeding. He's the one that's touching the food.
The one who's eating. The one who's feeding or the eating?
The one who's feeding. He's the one that's touching the food.
Very good. That's your opinion.
If we're talking about the hands.
That's
the question. That's why I have to discuss it. Because there's a good
say about that, say that
the person who's feeding him.
Yes, because he's touching the food. But the one who feeds doesn't, and the one who eats has. Even though he doesn't touch it. For sure. Because Chachamim gazur, the other day, gazur ala ocher. וזה לא מצוי, לכן אמרו, המאכיל לא חייב. זה לא היה בכלל הגזרה של חכמים, זה טוב, תדע.
Why are we washing our hands anyway? Not only for cleanliness, but let's
eat. Say, suppose a person eats, he doesn't touch the food. Eats with a spoon or with a fork. He doesn't have to make nitira?
Make
it. Still he has to make nitira.
When it comes to Yerakot, he does not.
Yerakot?
He does not.
But bepat, he צריך, הוא צריך מעשות. אפילו שלא אוכל את זה בידיו.
What is the reason?
But
when is the reason for the netilah? Was it
too long? Yeah, so
if you're not touching
it,
you still say he has to make netilah?
Yeah, because the netilah was because usually they did what the usual things what people do. People usually they used to touch it, but therefore gazu alayhem. Touch is not, because he may touch again. He may. Therefore, the food in order, Hakamim, he has to make the Nitira. Therefore, it doesn't change, he touches or not. But the one who is feeding, Hakamim did not give Gezerah on him. Because, Miltad de la Shechicha, it's called. Something that's not the usual thing. That's why they didn't make Gezerah on them. Here comes a very difficult subject. A person gets a guest into his house. He's not observant.
The guest is not observant.
Yeah.
The guest is not observant?
Yeah, the guest. He doesn't observe. Usually when a guest comes, Faddal, please. You know, and you come. If you put only the food in front of him, you don't tell him, Faddal, okay. You can close our eyes. So please have something. You know, he's not going to say, Barakha. Not going to make netilah. What do you do in such a case? You're not supposed to tell him that. All you should advise him, please make netilah and say beracha. If you think he will not do it, and you think they will resent it. You know, sometimes, you know, these people are religious, they don't care. If he has respect to Torah, to and we can tell him if he doesn't respect what it is, maybe he will become even further away from you, further away from Torah, and he will start hating. You know, from this comes hatred, and you're imposing on him something that he doesn't like. You can say it for that, in order not to create misunderstanding. Understand.
What's the time that we allow Mechalel Shabbat to come to the shul, or that we talk to Mechalel Shabbat altogether? Since really, Midei Oraita, the Lord, the deen is person has to get sekilah, he has to be stoned, executed.
Yeah.
So what are we doing associating with these people? How can we possibly associate them with you?
They ask him, can we be mitzarefin mahalel Shabbat leminyan? Brought along to Shuba. Hakol lefi re'ot haner hacham. Lefi hamakom u'fi hazeman. You are living in a time that you have to see to it, not to keep people further away from religion. Try to bring them closer. Not because he is Rasha, you have to say, I should kill him. Even though, at the time that even of the Torah, it's Aydin, it's Hatra, you think was very often such a thing, that was Mahal Shabbat, Mitayev Midah? Wasn't. It will happen that there is Aydin and Hatra, I'm telling you. Very rarely.
Well, we have a Maaseh Bechol Yom today.
What?
It could happen 100 times a week nowadays.
There's no Adim and Atra.
Well, we can make Adim and Atra. The Adim came forward and they gave
up
Atra.
They end in Hayumitah and Mekoah.
Ah, end in Hayumitah,
but... Yeah, and...
Lema'aseh,
Adim. Lama yesh kol kol chav b'mechal Shabbat? Because there is no opportunity to score them. And then yes.
So
they mitzdik otam? No, I אבל אתה צריך שלא להרחיק יותר, לבדי ידח ממנו נדח.
אבל מצידנו, זה לא דבר מתועד שאנחנו...
לא, הוא אומר, מביא בזה יש דעות שונות, מחלוקת, לכן אמר, כדי שלא להרחיק אותם, החכם צריך לראות לפי ראות עיניו, לפי המקום ולפי הזמן. היום אלה, יש הרבה מהמחלי שבת היום, הם לא מחלי שבת להכעיס. מחלי שבת לתיאבון.
אז גם כן חייב
לתיאבון. לא. בזמן שהיה דנמיתה ויש עדים בהתראה. אבל היום אלה המחלי שבת, הם מאמינים בהשם, ובאים לבית כנסת, ואחר כך הולכים, יש להם הצטדקויות.
אבל בזמן שיש חיוב מיתה, אפילו אם מאמינים, ואפילו אם צדיקים גמורים,
בוודאי, אמרתי, אבל לא מלמנו. אינם נחשבים כמו אלה האפיקורסים, אלא צריך לקרב אותם. הם לא, השאלה הייתה, אני הייתי, I was in South Africa. And I spoke about Shabbat and everything. Came someone who was far away. Came and said, Rabbi, I want to come to Shul. According to what you are telling us, I want to know an answer. Should I come to Shul on Shabbat? If I come, I have to come by car. If I don't come, I'll stay home. But I won't come to the Shul. If he is not coming to the Shul, he may, after a year or two, forget himself as a Jew. Not only for himself we worry, the children will never come to see a Shul. They'll go like Goyim. This way, maybe, we talk to them, which is them, maybe they will become good Jews later on. We don't know. This is here also. I had a case that a young man came to me. He was criticizing the rabbis of the community. How do they respect the rabbi, the Halil Shabbat? And I was very happy to hear. I said, this boy already became nice, religious. His father wasn't Shomer Shabbat. So, thank God. 2 weeks later, he came again. And again, he started criticizing it with a loud voice more. Again, I was happier yet. Very good, he's sincere, strong. 2 weeks later, he came again. But he spoke very, very sharp. I held him from his shirt, I shook him, I said, listen, you young man, I would do what you want me to do with the Mahalil Shabbat, you wouldn't be a Jew today. He looked at me, he was embarrassed, and then why did I tell him? All his face to Andrea. So, well, why did you tell me that? I told him, I'll be very frank with you. Tell you exactly why I said it. Told him his father, he came to Rosh Hashanah to Shul, the first day, he had a little beard on him. Wasn't shaved well. Second day, I told him I'm very well observant. It was smooth, nothing. And if I did to his father what he wanted me to do with Mahalei Shabbat, the father would leave the shul and go away, goodbye. You will never say, maybe he will end in some conservative place. No, your children are religious. Later on, the father became religious. He used to see me in the street, run to me, hug me, kiss me. So I thank you for what you did with my children. And the father became very, very big supporter of the Shivot. And Baruch Hashem, he died as a Shomer Shabbat, as a religious. The father also. The children are here with us today. But the father passed away. And that means, what can we do? We try to bring them.
So that's from a rabbi's point of view. What about the common person? How's the common person supposed to behave with these people?
Same thing. Why a common man could sometimes bring somebody else closer, more than a rabbi. Then the Rebbe Torah Lamati Merabatai V'yotem, the Haverai V'talmidai V'yotem V'kulam. Our rabbi said, Harbe Haverut Osa. Friendship can do a lot.
Person supposed to do business with them?
Anyone that is a person who does business, he can talk to him, he can
make money for himself off this person. He can use this person to make money for himself. Mahalei Shabbat.
I don't understand.
He's going to do business with this person in such a way that he will be making money through this person. He'll be making a profit by way of the Mahalei Shabbat.
I don't understand. Whom are you talking about? The Mahalei Shabbat or the Shomer Shabbat?
Mahalei Shabbat has merchandise to sell. He's going to buy the merchandise and sell the merchandise. Or he has merchandise to buy. So he's going to sell the merchandise to the Mahalei Shabbat.
Yeah, as long as you are doing your Kavanah L'Shem Shammai.
Well, business. It's a Kavanah to do business.
But in case you are friendly with him, it will bring him closer. It's worth it. Sometimes. Because you do business with him, he gets very, very happy with you. Someday he will listen to you, what you suggest to him. You can't. Today we are living in a time, different time. Not one that is the power to impose the laws of the Torah. We don't have that power. That's why the person has to do it. We saw many, many people came back to our religion because of that, that we went easy with. If you didn't go an easy way, there would never be coming back. We have to understand the condition. We can't help it. Look, you don't blame the young people today. They saw others, they see others. They live in a country that the Yetzirah is very big. Look, they forget, they make 2 and 2 is 4. They go, I'll work on Shabbat, I'll make so much. Well, at Shabbat, they won't give me a job. They don't let me have living. A person, he has to be a strong believer in God. He has to be already, that's a very, very firm and determined. Well, those that they grow here until they come among people that they do it, I'm not justifying them, but I justify them, the relationship of the people with these people, not to condemn them the other way around. We have to feel sorry for them to try to bring them back. A person, all there is, are called the fear of Kavanah. The fear, only God knows to judge people. Sitting in Gemara about the Bizira said during his lifetime, Hachamim kept away from him. They didn't want to be close to him. Why? Because he was respecting people who were not observing Torah. And the people who did not observe Torah Mitzvot always ran to him. And Hachamim didn't like it, but that he was so tolerant to them. And the Gemara said, when he died, all people came to his funeral. The people who were not religious and people who were religious. People who were religious knew he was a great rabbi. They came to pay the last respect. the irreligious, this is the only man that was kind to us. They came. And when they came to that funeral, the very religious people that they condemned him in his lifetime, came, they wanted right away to deal with the Aaron, to come closer. A fire came from heaven, surrounding the Aaron, not letting them come to close to this rabbi. Why? You condemned him during his lifetime, and now you want to come to carry the Aaron? What shows? He meant L'shem Shamayim. He did whatever he did for the sake of God. What happened? These people who were not religious during his lifetime, when they saw that, they said to each other, "Oh, well, this rabbi was alive. How much he was, how good he was for us. Now, who would be doing something like that? For his sake, what he did, we should become religious." And they all made the Shuva. It shows you, if he didn't succeed during his lifetime, he succeeded after his death, because Kavanato was L'shem Shamayim, and he became religious. It all depends on the individuals. I can't tell you if a rabbi is doing it just for his own benefit, for money, for that, of course, it's not. But if he does it L'shem Shamayim, it's okay. Hashem Yivarech Otom. It all depends.
Don't... Is there an obligation on the person to become a witness and to give a warning to the person?
To become a witness?
To become a witness. You see,
But not today, no.
In those times. He has to become an heir.
Sure.
He must give
Hatra'ah. Sure. It's a duty, was. There's no question about it. Now, there is the rabbi suggests that if such a person observant, he doesn't want to serve in Chesed, please listen to my bracha. Because when he listens, maybe my bracha is good for him too. And this is, if it is possible, at least they should do that with him.
But that works for how much it does work for other people to die?
Yeah, for everything.
Even if the other one doesn't wash his hands?
That's right. Now, if a person, all of a sudden, in the middle of the meal, he had to itch himself. If he touched his skin, not with the clothes, you will have to get up and wash his hands again, because he's in the middle. Again, he's doing something wrong. But the question is, when he makes a tila again, tila only to that hand or to both hands? You will have to make a tila to both hands. But number one, tila. That's if he eats bread somehow. But if he doesn't eat bread, he doesn't have to. In the time of our rabbis, there was a even if he holds a book in the middle of the meal, he should get up and...
A book?
Yeah, the book of Torah, religion. He should go and wash his hand. Why? That time they used to hide the Torah between the books. And therefore he will come to take the book, he may touch the Torah and make it to me. Oh dear, but today we don't have this. Today it's forbidden. Suppose a person went to the bathroom. He comes, he's going to eat his meal. And he's making nitilah for the bread. And he has to make a tila for being in the bathroom. What should he do? He makes a tila for the bathroom and say Asher Yatzar, and then get a tila. It seems to be like a tila is bracha v'tala. He just washes his hand. Some people, they had a solution. He goes, he comes, he washes his hand, he says Asher Yatzar, and then he touches, here it said, to make his hand already not clean. But some rabbis have said, that's also not a very good advice. Why? But goren beracha she'enat zericha. When a person causing something beracha that you don't have to, it's considered just like beracha levatana. Therefore, what they say, the best way is washing his hands. He says, anit latadayim. After anit latadayim, he'll dry and say, asher etzal, and then say, hamutzi. It doesn't matter, it's not called the second. Because reading from the main halakha, it's better not to speak, there's two opinions between Netilah and Hamotzi. But halakha, if he does speak, he doesn't have to make a Netilah again. Or she can hear that he says, Beracha, Shuyatza. The difference is between Beracha of Hamotzi to the eating of Hamotzi, that he shouldn't talk. If he talks, he has to say Beracha again. Not always, sometimes not. Even between Beracha of Hamotzi to the bread. What, for example, he took the bread, he said Hamotzi, then he realized no salt. He said, oh, bring me the salt, because he has to have salt. And that's not called hefsek, but for the need of the bread.
The netilah that he makes when he goes to the bathroom is not the same netilah he would make for Hamotzi.
For what?
The netilah he makes when he comes to finish in the bathroom is not the same netilah as he makes for
Hamotzi. Doesn't matter, but it will be good enough. Originally, the halacha for the bathroom, or even the tilat yadam for the food, originally, doesn't have to be three times. If you have what you eat in your hand, it would be sufficient once. But the custom is to have it three times. Not for you, the halacha, that was supposed to be three times. It came from this, because in their time, was shortage of water. And they used little water to pour. That's why they told them three times. But if a person pours Rabbi Eid at once, he doesn't have more than once. But today we have many Rabbi Eid. We wash and then we do three times and then we'll be okay. Therefore, nothing to worry. But as I said, if a person knows himself that he will never forget Shem Yatzar. And he will make the Tilah. He'll say, Ah, Tilah Tadai. And he'll say, Hamotzi. And he knows himself right after Hamotzi, right there, he eats the bread, he will say, Asher Yatzar. It's good, you can say, Asher Yatzar. Why do we tell him to say, Asher Yatzar before? Because we worry he may forget. When a person knows for sure, he can do that. But this is the suggestion of the Shulchan Aruch, the right way. When there is many people sitting to eat together, they want to make netilah. Who should go and make netilah first? Head of the family. They're all there, the one. Kabod, that's what Sukkim Gemara. They used to go the first, but sometimes today they don't like it. Why? Because there is a question sometimes. If there is a hefsek between the tilat to the tamtam, if you lasted too long, how much is called too long? We mentioned that last time. Said the distance of walking 22 amot, which is 44 feet. That's called hefsek. A person will go, you are giving respect to the family, to go to make the tilat, and he is waiting and waiting and waiting. The halacha, you could wait, what can you do? Because for the sake of the people. But it would be better for him, the one that's going to say the Hamotzi, that he would be closer to the Tam, the Hamotzi. Now, the others, they don't say the Baracha. He says the Baracha out loud. Therefore, he should be better, closer to the Hamotzi. Okay? However, if there is no possibility, he could go make a Tila first. And then you wait. It's not called hefsek.
Sometimes the table is more than 44 feet away anyway.
What?
Sometimes the table that you're eating at is more than 44 feet away from the washing anyway.
Sometimes. But you see what they do in those parties that they are far away?
Pieces of bread,
right? What they bring pieces of bread near the Netilah for this reason. because they realize this is too far. You go in a hotel, or there's a party, wedding, he has 100 feet, not a 40-pound. And that's why they leave the bread in front of them to say, I'm going to see right away, and then let him walk. There is a reason for everything. That's the yesod of the halakha, that it way. As I said before, a person comes and said, Rabbi, 44 feet, my feet are bigger, my steps are bigger, as one of the average man is.
44 feet measured or 44 footsteps?
Distance, length.
Same thing.
Measured.
Feet. But with the average man. No, I'm not talking about men, but there's...
But you mean 12 inches is a foot?
Yes, sir.
Not 44 steps?
No. But usually, 44 steps is 44. But an average man. But a man that has big steps, well, very small, depend. Depend on the individual. But we take the average. A person comes between the Grand Machine. He has to do certain things sometimes. You tell him, don't do it. All of a sudden, a poor man comes, he wants to give him tzedakah. He don't do it. He can give him the tzedakah. He's not upset. But of course, we say, if he can help himself, that he won't do it, still will make, he won't miss the mitzvah. If he doesn't do it in between, it's better not to do it in between. But if he is afraid, that he might miss the mitzvah, he can do the mitzvah. Then, now we mentioned before, when he makes a mochi, what side of the bread he should make the mochi? From, we mentioned from the place that well done, that's more tastier. I told you there was a story in the Gemara in it. The story of the Gemara, a rabbi was telling his students every day what will be the subject tomorrow that we are going to discuss. Here came the rabbi, said, tomorrow we'll talk about our friends, Menashe. He told him, I'll talk about our friend, Menashe. What the subject will be in the Nevi'im, Menashe, that was the son of Hezekiah. A melech, and he became a king, and he wasn't religious, he was worshipping Avodah Zarah, and he was a little bit ironic about it. Talk about our friend, Menashe. He went to sleep that night. He sees someone choking him, awakening him. Hey, get up. You call me your friend? Making fun of me? He said, you worshipped Avodah Zarah. He said, he didn't know who. He asked, didn't you call me your friend, Menashe? But his Menashe came to speak to him. He tells him, a little low you don't know. He said, what kind of a low? I don't know. Ask me. He said, what do we say hamotzi on the bread and what side? He said, what's the difference? Said, what's the difference? You see, you don't know, plain low. He said, tell me. And if you tell me tomorrow, I'm going to teach, and I say it in your behalf. That means it will be something good for you, that you are teaching us the law. He told him, in Makom Shine Fayafe, place that the bread is well done, that's tastier. He said, tell me one thing, I can't understand. If you were such a great scholar and everything, how come you worship Avodah Zarah so much? He said, you think you would be better than me if you were in my time? You would be much worse than me. It is a robot. He said, you don't seem to understand the difference in the age, in our age to your age. In our age was everybody running after this. It was the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, very, very strong. It was impossible to reject it. He said, you would run after it and you would kiss it. And you won't leave it from your hand, being with it. The rabbi came the next morning, said, I want to teach you halakha, what I learned from Menashe. The rabbi changed the whole mud, everything. It shows you what charge. This is the halakha that they tell you to praise God on something better. Now, the question is, why did he didn't find only this halakha to talk to him about? Why? Talk about the pantalakha. I said once, Pirush, I don't know what. There is, of course, abuse. Haim has Pirush, many. My opinion is this. He wanted to tell me, you have to understand, generations that they were closer to the time that the Torah was given are better than the generations later. The quality of these people is much better, even though, you know, they made many Havanot. Because if those of the later generation will be in that time, it would be worse. But those people were closer to the time that the Torah was given. The time that the Torah was given, the Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to them. It came from by Kolot Barakim, Anakavad, Toch HaEsh, Dvar HaShamatam Toch HaEsh. He said, why there isn't the bread sometimes? One side is more well done, one side is not so well done. Because in the oven, they used to put those things, there's a fireplace. The baggage, the one that's closer to the fire, gets done more than the one away from the fire. Then the one that's closer is well done. Them, we're closer to the time when our Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared for me within the fire, and that we are better. This is the reason why he took this halakha in particular. But there is another thing. When you take the bread to say Hamotzi, every day you don't need Lechem Mishneh. But it's better if you have a complete loaf of bread and you have a slice of bread. Even if the slice is bigger than the complete, it's better to make it on the complete. This is a bigger one. Here is the half of loaf of rye bread, which is 1 pint. Here there is 2 ounces. They are small but complete. Say bracha on the complete one. When you come to say, I make bracha on the complete, what do I have to do? Start cutting and then say bracha, or say bracha and then cutting? What shall I do? So you say bracha first, and then you cut, because we want you to say the bracha on the complete. But that is b'Shabbat. Behold, you don't do that. What do?
Biggest piece.
You start breaking a piece, say the bracha, and eat. Why? But one thing, provided one condition. When you cut, you take the knife, you take your hand, you cut it. Don't cut so much that will be separated. Let it still be attached. And attached to such a thing that if you will pick it up, still will be picking up the loaf. Mm-hmm. That you don't cut that much that will be considered cut. Because once you cut it, it's already haser. I want you to separate on something complete. And therefore, in the whole, the weekdays, you can cut a little instead of bracha. Why we say that? Why did I say bracha before? We don't want it to stop too long between the bracha and the eating of the bread. If you'll have to cut the whole bread, that's a little longer. But Shabbat, because of Lechem Mishneh, we want him to say bracha on Lechem Mishneh. Once you cut it even a little, it's not Lechem Mishneh anymore. Now, a person should be very careful on the bracha from Motzi Lechem Min Ha'aretz. That's just like in Kriyat Shema. Bechol Levavecha. If you say it fast, you know what it will be? Bechol Levavecha. You say only in one lamed. Bechol Levavecha. It sounds like I'm saying Bechol Levavecha. You're not. Bechol Levavecha, one lamed. Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. It's good to pause a little bit after lechem. Why? Be hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Lechem min. Lechem min, that's one man. No meaning. The reasoning the books ask the question, why do we say hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz? You say everything. Boreh peri ha'adama. Boreh peri ha'aretz. Here you say hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. You could say hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Why do we need two words, min ha'aretz? What did Kevin say? In the bread, there is 10 different melachot from the time that a person begins the plow, plant, turn, and he gets the bread. 10 different kind of work. That's why they put their two hands on the bread. Certain things mean that they put two hands, that there is 10 fingers. 10 fingers to show you that there is 7 melachot, but not only 10 melachot. 10 mitzvot also there is. לחרוש, לזרוע, לא תחרוש בשובו, חמור יחדיו, and so, from the very beginning till the end, there's 10 different mitzvot written in the Torah. That's why, to give a remez on the 10, they give you 10 words in the beracha. Every beracha, usually, there is 9 words, but here, there is 10. ברוך אתה השם, בלי אלוקנו מלך העולם, המוציא לחם מן הארץ. That there is 10 words to give a hint on the 10 melachot and 10 mitzvot that there is from the beginning till the time of the bread. Now, of course,
why is it not hamotzi lechem min ha'adamah?
No, you're asking a different question now. Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. The lechem doesn't come directly min ha'adamah. It comes in the arets, but comes what? Wheat, barley. Then you have to separate, to grind, to do. It's not direct. The fruit comes direct. Now.
Anything
there's
or not
coming from
direct. There's or not doesn't come direct. Everything
you make comes
direct.
I'm
just saying.
I'm just saying. Why is it
there's
not?
The fruit or vegetable comes all directly from the tree or from the ground. But the bread doesn't come directly. It's the aretz is the tevel, it's called aretz. Same thing.
No, but it's not
made. No,
it's
not
the
No. Mezonot is different. Nourishing has nothing to do. Aretz Adama. He's asking Aretz Adama that they're similar. Why they took Aretz and not Adama? A person should not have the bread there on the table. He's saying Beracha and then he takes the bread. He's supposed to hold the bread first and then say the Beracha. This refers not only to bread. Everything. Food, anything. You have to hold it in your hand, say the beracha, and then eat it. But I told you this number of times, that a person has to have the things in his hand. The question is, when he has a fountain of water, he's okay, opening the faucet and drinks. It says beracha. The water runs. Comes another water. Now he didn't say the beracha on this water, so the beracha on the other water that was before. But since he has in mind, and he knows that this water is going and come another one, that this beracha comes on the water that comes. But he's not holding it, he's not holding it. He said there is no way, since it is a fountain, it's okay. And he says,
when you make the beracha,
you
make it holding any beracha, it doesn't matter if it's bread or anything, the right hand or the left hand?
Good question. What do you think?
Right hand.
Then you know the answer.
My right hand for you.
Right hand. Not only that, there's one thing that you always do in Shulchan Aruch, everything that you do, always you prefer right on the left, except in one thing. Everything you put your jacket on in the morning, put right hand first and then the left. Mm-hmm. You go, you walk, you turn. You walk, turn to the right side first and then left. And move your foot up right. And the goyim, the opposite. Then the army, they teach them left, right, left, right. With, and not self. I said right, left, right, left. That's it. Kol piniyot she'ata poneh. Kohanim, they make Kohanim, they warn them. When you turn, they turn. Echal, from the Echal to the people. And from the people to the Echal, when they finish with Echal, they to turn the right side. And do you understand what I'm saying? Go ahead. He's standing in the Echal. He comes to turn, he should not turn from the left side, he should turn from the right side. Person goes to the Sefer Torah. He should go from the right side, unless he's closer over there to be to Rashim Sachmatev to Ratzibur. Otherwise, he should go from the right side.
And the person who is taking out the Torah, they should take it and give it to the right.
That's right. Also to the right. That's
so
right.
Many times they take it from the left.
No. You see why they tell him that the person, the courier, who stand there, that he should be closer to him to the right. They don't put him to stand. I tell them also near the Chach Aritzel to stand there. I tell them, they come sometimes to stand next to me, I'm standing left. I said, go stand there. Because I want him to be closer to the right side of the one who opens the Echa. You understand? Kol b'nei yoshad apone, except when you stand Amida, when you make Asa Shalom, you turn to the left first, and then to the right. Why?
Hashem right.
Hashem right. That means to show that you are giving respect to Hashem, that's right. And also, when you are putting the shoes on, you put the right shoe first, and left. The shoelace, the left first. And then why? Because there is